And this is the Gadget Grill on 88.1 to RDJ FM. With Lee Stark, which is this ominous voice speaking here. And
Gary Stark, good evening. How are you tonight, Lee?
I'm okay. I'm feeling good. I'm having a good day today.
So well, I'm glad one of us is.
I'm having a good day. I've seen my girlfriend. I'm all really happy and stuff.
Yeah, half the stuff we've moved back into Studio A tonight, and some of the stuff in here wasn't quite working as it should. So I've had a couple of technical challenges in the 30-second changeover that we have from when Nikki finishes to when we have to be ready to go on air. Oh, such fun.
We have a gadget grudge. Stop grudging your gadget grudge.
Yeah, gadget gripe. It's
yeah.
A gadget gripe.
Gadget gripe as opposed to a gadget grudge. coming up on the show tonight.
We've got a show, have we?
We've got a... Is there any other reason to be here aside for annoying the, three or four listeners we've got?
Annoying the listener.
Annoying the listener. Coming up on the show tonight, we have news, as we always have news. It's been a big week for gadgets, you know, CES, Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
Lots of toys being
released.
Lots
of cool stuff. I happen to like mind reading, and there's some mind reading stuff there as well. We'll also talk about tonight HD TVs.
Oh, good fun.
That's
good
right.
Fun.
We're going to talk about what it means to have one and if you got burned by the HD Ready stuff that happened a couple of years ago, which a lot of people are still continuing.
I've got a little bit. Go on.
A lot of people are still continually getting burned by that thing, and we'll have a talk about pretty much what to look for if you're ever at a department store and they offer you an HDTV, and these are the right questions to ask, basically.
And the show's being invaded by rodents, too, I believe.
Rodents? Oh, yes, we've got some rodents in the house. We're going to be reviewing a couple of Microsoft products that we're actually using right now. Hopefully it doesn't destroy anything.
Mine's working quite well.
Mine's been fine, you know. I like mine a lot. So
we're in the studio, we're working wirelessly, and hopefully this is making sense.
Yeah. And if it doesn't now, it will in about 45 minutes' time.
Maybe.
But first up, we're actually going to play the Hush sound with Wine Red. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 to RDJ. You can also grab the Gadget Grill, that's myself and my dad, Gary Stark, at www.gadgetgrill.com.au for recaps of anything we're talking about.
And I might caution you against grabbing me, because that might cause you all sorts of distress.
There's all sorts of jokes like that floating through his mind right now. None of them are funny. But he kind of expects that the one listener we have to laugh. So if you could do me a favor right now, just emit a small giggle and we'll hear it. Yeah, see, there it goes. We got some news right now. It's been a big week of all sorts of stuff. It's like the one big week of tech there is with Consumer Electronics Show and Macworld.
Consumer Electronics Show in beautiful downtown Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing more beautiful than a strip in a desert.
No, it is. There are two places in the world that could be nuked and the world would be better off for it. And
that's
Las
mean.
Vegas,
that's mean to the nuke.
It is, I know. Yeah. And Las Vegas is one of them. However, that's where they hold CES.
It's a good place when you consider that there's really nothing there, so it's a good reason to get people there, aside for the gambling.
Yeah, I know.
And the shows.
And of course, Macworld was held in San Francisco.
Nice, and from what I'm seeing, it's nice and grey and drizzly as San Francisco could only be.
San Francisco has its own microclimate. And
sort of like Seattle.
Yeah.
Which is strange, considering that Macworld was in San Francisco and that Microsoft are in Seattle.
Yeah.
Redmond.
Okay, well, let's start off and talk about all the wonderful announcements from Macworld. Okay, we've done that.
Yeah. The few announcements that were there, there's the new iWork and the new iLife sort of stuff, new Office applications for your liking and taking. There's also the announcement of the new 17-inch MacBook Pro, which personally I wish they didn't announce, and I think a lot of pros out there wish they didn't announce. It's got the same wonderful lackluster features that the 15-inch MacBook Pro had, like a FireWire 800 port replacing a FireWire 400 port, no HDMI, that's got an Apple proprietary display link connector, a nice glossy panel, you know, with an anti-gloss on this one. It's not really an anti-gloss, it's sort of like an anti-reflection panel. Oh, and it costs about $4,500 Australian. Did I mention that? I didn't mention that part? It's a bit expensive.
Cheap at half, expensive at half the price.
It's probably not worth it, but, you know, if you're an Apple fanboy, which there are so many, you'll probably go out and snap it up just like that. They also announced one important one, though, that iTunes is finally going DRM-free. No digital rights management, no way to stop you from sending it to your friends. Now, this is a gradual process, and what's going to happen is that stock standard price you used to pay it on iTunes for downloads for music and movies, it's going to change a little bit. It's going to fluctuate from here and there. That's something that they can't really help. Well, they're saying they can't really help. But you will be able to share your music. Not all of it at first. Like, my brother was telling me today that music he bought yesterday on iTunes is not currently under that system yet. And in Australia, that's going to be a more gradual process. In America, that's the way it is right now. And they're shifting everything to iTunes Plus, that system we talked about a few weeks ago, I think, where you can pay 50 cents for a song extra or a buck extra for the music video or movie, and you get it DRM-free.
Right.
So that was Macworld. The whole there's no more Macworld after this.
A great big yawn.
Yeah.
Well, there's no Apple at Macworld anymore.
Yeah, no Apple at Macworld, which essentially means there'll be no Macworld. I hear, however, that most people slept in the Macworld thing. Like, they got up early, 5, 6 a.m., so they could sit in the hall where it was done, and there was quite a lot of snoozing. So not to be offensive to Apple, but next time, do something.
Well, Apple aren't going to be there anymore, so that's not going to happen.
Next time,
CES, what was there that was exciting?
Well, there's a lot of cool things. Yeah, yeah. There's finally a real iPhone competitor on the block, the Palm Pre, which...
Pre what?
No, Pre.
Pre.
Like
a Prius.
What they normally have is a model called the Trio, and this is like the... This is like a P without the O, so it's instead of being a Prio, it's a Pre.
Right.
Yeah, and it uses a really cool design. It has a QWERTY keyboard underneath that's very similar to the old Trios, little bubble-like keys.
QWERTY keyboard is like a normal computer keyboard, except it's a hell of a lot smaller.
Yeah, and in this, it's got a full touchscreen. It looks like a very cool device. Like, and apparently, it's being touted as the... Or touted? One of them? It's being put forth as the first...
Touted.
It's being put forth as the first real iPhone competitor there is. It's even got the animations down well. There was mind control devices. Did you hear about these?
No, I did not.
Okay, I'm throwing this on him right now. There are two mind control games for kids. This is proving to be an interesting technology. This sort of idea was announced last year, I think at CES, and now they're putting it into toys. Mattel, the people who make Barbie dolls, are actually doing this device, which you plug into your head. It's basically like wearing a set of headphones for your temples, and then you have a control that controls the amount of air that the fan has. And based on the amount of brain waves you push through this thing, it pushes the ball that's on it further and further. So the idea is that you...
So the ball drops at midnight on New Year's Eve?
Well, the ball drops if you think about midnight on New Year's Eve, as opposed to thinking about pushing the ball up through these hoops. And that's the point of this game. Instead of sending kids outside to play basketball, you're instead keeping them inside to play with balls. I'm going to get really bad here, aren't I?
You're going to...
I think I'm going to sink myself
in this one. Let's talk about some of these personal hotspot-type devices that we've seen there.
We're talking about this because Dad wants one. He secretly wants one. He doesn't so secretly want one.
Well, there's actually four different devices that are becoming available now that are doing very similar sorts of tasks. The first one I'm going to talk about is from Blaupunkt, which is a car radio. But inside the car radio, they're putting a 3G... wireless internet connection. Basically, you'll stick a SIM card in your car radio, or it'll have one built in, and it'll connect to the internet, and you'll be able to pick up on your car radio internet radio stations from all over the world. It's almost a good idea, except that they're going to charge you for access to the internet radio stations.
Which defeats the point of it in the first place.
It does, because you can do that for free. I could turn on my iPhone right now and start listening to Radio 2RDJ.
I quite like the concept of being able to be in CES in a rent-a-car, provided I have one of these, which we know a rent-a-car never would. I like the concept of being in a rent-a-car, provided I have a driver's license, driving through the streets of Las Vegas,
And listening to 2RDJ.
Listening to
the Gadget Grill while you're at CES.
That would be kind of cool.
The second of these devices is basically it's like the router that you're going to have at home for your internet connection, and you're going to put in a SIM card, And this connects up to your car radio, and it does essentially the same thing, but it creates a little hotspot inside your car. And so that you can use your internet-enabled devices, your web-enabled devices within the confines of your car. Now, for both the Blaupunkt radio and for this particular device, they're charging you for access to the content. They're charging you for access to the radio stations. And in each case, they're looking at around about $500-$600 for the actual device. Now, the problem that I have with that is that I could go down to my local computer supply store and pick up a 3G router for about $120-$150, and it'll do exactly the same thing, and I don't have to pay for access to the radio stations. You tell me which is better value.
I guess I have the problem with that is that this is new technology, and the price of this is going to drop. I mean, you're talking about CES announced prices, and that's very different from, say, going to your local computer store and ending up with a router that's had the technology in the industry for years.
I don't see the second of those devices as being new technology.
It's new because it's micro-sized, and that's the catch. It's using...
No, this one's not micro-sized. This is just basically a router.
Yeah.
The third one is the MiFi, and this one looks like a very interesting device. It's a credit card-sized portable router. And this is something that, you know, basically, I don't know quite how it's going to be powered, but
I think it has a lithium battery built into it. You recharge using USB. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
But basically, you just slip this in your pocket, and wherever you go, you've got a wireless internet connection, 3G, same as you have on your cell phone. And that allows you to connect any devices that you might have on your person that might want a wireless Wi-Fi connection, and you can go surfing on the internet. So that's pretty good.
I think you secretly like the idea of having a wireless connection in your wallet, so you can walk around and say, oh, sorry, that wasn't my credit card. That was my Wi-Fi connection. Hold on, I'll get my real credit card.
Well, actually, the idea of having it in your wallet, I think, is quite a cool idea that, you know, sort of wherever you go.
Wallet transmits radiation.
Yeah. The fourth of these devices is actually a software device, a software program that can go onto some of the cell phones that are currently available, and it does the same job.
Is this the Winmo one, Windows Mobile one I was hearing about?
No.
Okay, well, in that case, there's a fifth one.
Okay, because this is the one that runs on the Nokia.
Ah, yes, of course.
And it does essentially the same as the MiFi, except it does it on your existing cell phone. It turns your cell phone into a little hotspot.
For what it's worth, for people who...
it's free.
People who may not know about this, Apple OS has, for a long time, or at least a year or two, has included the same sort of stuff in every one of their MacBooks. And anything with a Wi-Fi. Mac OS has had this... we can make it right now on the MacBook here.
Yeah.
You know, or our MacBook, or whatever.
Turn it into a router.
Turn it into a Wi-Fi connection, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's cool technology. I have another CES one I like.
Yep.
Fuji have launched some environmentally friendly AAs. They have... They're long-lasting. They have no mercury, no cadmium, no PVC. They're designed to be landfill safe. No one's really come up with proper battery...
That is a problem.
A long time, and this doesn't have any ozone depleting compounds in it. I quite like the concept. Now, my one catch will be, given that this is a new technology, if they don't make these cheap, these will fail.
Okay, final news item.
Oh, no, we got two. Can we do two? You want to do yours, and I'll do my... I'm going to do my Tetris one first.
Do your Tetris one first.
I'll do my Tetris one. It's kind of cool.
With this one.
If you're in an accident, make sure you're carrying a copy of Tetris with you.
I've got a copy of Tetris on my iPhone.
And I've got a copy of Tetris on my Game Boy in my backpack. So if you're in an accident, make sure you carry a copy of Tetris with you, because some researchers this week have found that if you play Tetris pretty much immediately after an accident or something traumatic, the memories from that will actually be less. So it has something to do with using that logical part of your brain for a creative purpose, which is Tetris in a nutshell.
Excellent.
That's the oldest games. You can do yours now. Yours is kind of
okay.
Cool.
Okay, mine is the last item that I have in news today, of course, relates to Windows 7.
Yes.
The beta is now available.
You can download it.
You can download it. Go to the Microsoft site. Go to Microsoft.com. I think it's Windows 7.
You know, we could provide a link to this later on.
Well, yeah, we can provide a link to that on the website.
Gadget Grill.
On the Gadget Grill. Go on.
Yeah, www.gadgetgrill.com.au. We'll provide a link after the show is over.
And you can download it, and you need to sign up, use your Windows, your Microsoft
Live ID.
Yeah. And you can download it. Now, they originally said there were going to be 2.5 million download limit. But that limit has now been waived. It's been removed until January 24. So if you want to start playing with a copy of Windows 7, see what it's like.
We suggest you do.
It is so far, that's from the good play we've had with it, it is very good. Time for some music, I guess.
Time for some music. I guess we're going to have to play a bit of John Mayer. I like this track a lot. This is Slow Dancing in a Burning Room. It's The Gadget Grill with Lee and Gary Stark on 88.1 2RDJ FM in Sydney.
Where's Gary gone?
Oh, he's over there fiddling with a shaky controller.
Playing with his knob.
Wow, there's an image I didn't need. You know, somewhere between me sinking myself with that ball and that psychic thing, there's right an image I didn't need. Right now we're talking about our feature for this week, which is it a feature? It's sort of a feature,
it's
I guess.
It's a featured topic.
It's feature-ish. We're talking about HDTV, high-definition TV. You right there?
I'm right, yeah. Right, just making some, just rearranging some deck chairs on the Titanic.
High-definition TV. A lot of people don't know really what it is. I mean, it's only really playing a big part late last year into this year.
Just starting to. As everyone's been getting their money from the government and buying themselves all their plasma TVs.
You know, Xbox 360 did very well from that money from the government
thing.
They sold a lot.
Harvey Norman's going to do a lot worse over the next 12 months because the baby bonus is now going to be paid in installments rather than a lump sum.
And speaking of this, actually, LCDs are going to go up in price as well.
Well, a lot of everything imported is going to go up in price over the next few months.
Let's talk about some LCDs and plasmas, shall we?
Go for it.
Yeah, okay. Full HD, well, what's the difference between a regular HD or regular TV and HD?
Well, let's go back a step because you'll see TVs advertised in the stores. You'll see their tickets there describing them as HD or full HD.
And, or HD ready.
Or HD ready. So what are the differences between those three, Lee?
Okay, well, HD ready isn't HD at all. HD ready means that the actual TV set has the ability to take an HD input. But that's true of practically any TV, for the most part. It basically means that on the back of an HD-ready TV are the component pieces, the red, green, and blue cables. Now, normally what you get on a TV is red, white, yellow. That was the traditional RCA connectors for, I guess, analog TV, I guess is what you want to call it.
Yep, analog TV, red and white being the audio left and right, and yellow being the video.
In the case of component, what you get is red, green, blue for video, and red and white for the audio. The red and white always stays, or HDMI, which is an all-in-one cable for the transmission of both audio and video, and later on this year, the sending out, like the sending in and out of both. Now, what HD ready means is your TV is technically capable of accepting HD feeds. It just won't do anything with them. And this is something a lot of people got burned by when technologies like HDCP, which is a basically a form of digital rights management for your TV, a way to make sure that you're not operating any pirated material and there's a little transmission going on at the TV and at the DVD player end, as an example, making sure that it's secure. Before that technology was worked out, and even now after it is, a lot of TVs are being advertised as HD ready. They're not. They are, but they're not. They don't display things at high definition. So let's talk about HD and full HD. Well, HD operates at a resolution of what we call 720p. That's 1280 by 720 pixels. It's a progressive resolution. And you can also get 720i and 1080i. This is an interlace issue. As an interesting point, 720i is worse than 720p because it's two sections of frames interlacing.
Right.
Going together. And 1080i is technically the same as 780p, or 720p rather. It just looks worse because of interlace. Interlace is a really weird thing. You'll see it on a lot of DVDs, actually, where lines flicker in between. And that's what an interlace thing does. Now, these days, you want to focus on a TV that's 1080p. That's really what you want. That's the future-proof TV for at least the next 2 or 3 years minimum.
So future-proof
Well, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of filmmakers, we're shooting already in 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 resolution. Now, what we do is we scale these back down to 1080p and 720p. And 720p is HD. It's high definition enough for most people. And full HD, 1080p, is the creme de la creme right now. And that's what everyone really wants.
I'm 1080p.
No, yeah, no, no. You're 576i. You're the old DVD standard.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, this is what you want. Now, a lot of TVs are still sold with these weird things. They'll say on a lot of ads, resolution, 1366 by 768. That may sound like it's 1280 by 720, but it's not. That's a weird resolution that Plasma used to put out. It means it's HD ready, and it can technically play things at HD, which is 720p, but it's not really. It kind of skews them. It's got a really weird aspect ratio it puts out. What you want to look for, this is the resolution to look for if you're looking for an HD or a full HD TV. If you want 720p, you'll pay a little bit less for it. You'll get it with a resolution of 1280 by 720, similar to what you get on a computer, actually. That resolution applies.
Right.
If you get a full HD TV, you're looking for 1920 by 1200. And this applies also when you're getting a projector, believe it or not.
I was just going to say, are we going to talk about projectors? Obviously we are.
We should. I mean, LCD and plasma are these great high-definition technologies for the most part. These days, they're high-definition anyway.
Yep.
And projectors are a really good one. What you end up finding is that if you want to watch regular TV in high-definition, Dad'll talk about that part in a second. If you want to watch regular TV in high-definition or you want to play video games, an LCD or a plasma is generally the better bet. But if you're really looking at watching your movie in full HD sort of spectrum,
and you want to really get the full movie experience, get a projector.
And you can get these in full HD and HD. Now, here's the kicker, and this is something a lot of people don't get. Everyone is always in stores, and I know because I've been dealt this before, oh, you have to get full HD. It's a load of crap. 720p is perfectly fine up to about a 50-inch screen. You won't notice a difference between a 720p resolution image and a 1080p. No way. It's impossible. Our eyes just aren't that good. However, once you go past 50...
My eyes have trouble with 7p.
Your eyes have trouble with 32 inches of footage. Once we go past 50 inches, you really do want... Like, if you're going for a projector, a 1080p is useful. But that said, the resolution difference between DVD and HD, you know, early HD, 720, is still amazing. We're talking an amazing amount of information that fits on discs and image quality. The downside of all of this between the full HD stuff is that you need a whole set of new cables, and these things are ridiculously overpriced.
Cables are a wonderful profit line for the stores.
It's interesting because in China, these cables cost literally 30 cents to make. And in Japan and in China and Taiwan, you can buy these things online for like a buck each.
Yeah.
But the moment you go to a department store or electronics store here...
$70, $80.
You know, an inflation rate of about 2,000% is what they apply, and
that's
it's ridiculous.
Markup. Yeah.
You talk about where higher definition applies to regular people now.
Well, I'm not so much talking about higher definition. I'm going to talk about digital TV, which is coming, whether you like it or not. I can't understand why it's coming, because you've probably seen ads on TV for Freeview, all of these promotional things. They're promoting digital TV. Now, if you've got a very old TV, then you're going to need a set-top box or trade up your TV.
And you're probably going to need to trade up your TV, to be honest.
Yeah, of course, this is wonderful because the government is forcing you to spend money because there's no real good reason to buy one of these TVs.
Let's be fair. Almost every government in the Western civilization is doing the upgrade.
In America, every family is entitled to two $40 vouchers to buy a set-top box.
In that country, considering they cost about $20 each there, that's four set-top boxes. That's not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
In this country, they cost around $30 to $90, depending. That's just for a basic model.
Now, what they got with Freeview is that this is each of the free-to-air networks has got four new channels. One of them is a high-definition channel, and the other three are alternative channels to their regular mainstream channel that you're watching at the moment.
Theoretically, that means you get more to watch.
Theoretically, it means that instead of five channels, we've got 15 free-to-air channels.
Which is whether any of them are good or not, I guess.
Well,
that's
the problem, you see, because for this to really work, there needs to be some extra content.
As opposed to a TV guide, ABC, which is usually one of them.
Yeah, ABC has got ABC2, so that's got...
They've been the first people to do that, in fact.
They've been the first people to do that, and on ABC2, you get some very interesting content and some good content. That's the extent of the extra content. All of the other channels on their digital channels, they're mirroring what they're playing on their main channel.
Hang on.
A waste of time.
Hang on. I thought I saw you watching one of the HD channels the other day. Like, I think it was 9. They were playing a movie that was different from
that,
TV.
That was the HD from Channel 9, yes.
Yeah.
The HD is different from the digital. They occasionally show some... A little bit of different programming. Channel 10 do the same as well. Channel 7. They all do a little bit of different programming on the HD channel.
That's an,
but not on their ordinary digital, their SD.
I guess that's
which an, is standard
that,
definition.
That's a, yeah, the terrestrial digital. One. I guess it's an interesting point to make that if you get one of these HDTVs, you now get technically an extra channel from each of these places. That is,
yes.
That is technically that might be better or different. And if you're, you know, if you're buying Foxtel or one of the other cable providers on the aspect that, well, I'm sick of 10 or I'm sick of 7 or something like that, then you get this extra one to work with.
Well, the problem that I have with all this Freeview and so on, it's the same problem that we had when we lived in America. We used to, if you remember, we used to have the satellite.
250 channels and only 4 were watchable.
Exactly. You know, sort of, there's no substitute for quality content. And this is what the programmers have got to do. They've got to still provide us with quality content. There's absolutely no point in each of the networks giving us 5 channels that are exactly the same. It is a waste of bloody time.
And for their point of view, it's actually a better way for them to advertise to you. That's what this does. It gives them more reason to advertise to you, more ability, more bang for their buck for the promoters.
Oh, that's just what I need. More advertising.
Hey, some people like it, believe it or not. Some people record the ads and redistribute them on the internet, which is entirely illegal, but it's kind of funny to watch.
Well, of course, then you get to, actually, it's only a couple of weeks away, Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, yeah, Super and Bowl. It's a great time to see some funny ads.
There are some good ads that come through from America on Super Bowl. That's about the only time the ads are worth watching.
Yeah, but that's what we're going to have. This is a way for them to advertise to you. It's not anything you can do anything
about. I have seen some interesting criticism because one of the big American hosting providers, one whom we know and love, is spending $3 million on advertising during the Super Bowl.
Good for them. It's not going to help them, but good for them.
Yeah, I know. You know who it is, don't you?
No.
GoDaddy.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they do that normally anyway. GoDaddy are a hosting and web company. They've been doing very well, actually, lately.
I saw something else interesting about them as well the other day, which I'll talk to you about on the way home. Which
yeah, that's good. Let's introduce that on the radio show that people are listening on. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, we can talk about it in a couple of weeks' time when we do our hosting special.
We do our hosting special. That's right. We are going to do one. We've got a song. I'm speaking relatively fast. We've got a song, don't we? Because we've got some rodents that want to be talked about.
Indeed, we do. So let's go and listen to Maroon 5.
Woman. RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill with Lee and Gary Stark, speaking all about technology tonight and, well, every night, every time we're here.
Every Sunday night every on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
Or us at www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
Yes, and on the site at the moment is a brand new review of a brand new mouse, which we'll talk about in a moment, because you've got a rodent in your hand that's been running around the studio all
night.
It
has not been running. It's been gliding around, thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
This, in my hand right now, we've got 2 mice from Microsoft to review this week, which is kind of cool. We're actually going to get the Gadget Grill as a proper review site, which is kind of cool. I'm happy about that. And this is, in my hand, is the Microsoft.
Hold it up to the microphone so the listener can see it.
Yes, so the listener can see it. In my hand, I'm actually looking at the Microsoft Arc, which is this really unusual notebook-style mouse. And you can flip it. You heard the sound there.
I heard that.
I've been flipping it down. It's a very small, it kind of looks like a Star Trek communicator. You flip out the bottom, and aside from that small notebook-style mouse you get, what you get is a full-size.
Ground control to Major Tom.
You get a full-size mouse to put your hand on. It's full-size for my hands because I've got smaller hands. I'm kind of pitching this. I really like this mouse. It's got a wireless receiver built into the bottom. It's a really nice way of storing it. Just stick it into your laptop or your desktop.
Yeah, just a magnetic.
Yeah,
it is very elegant in the way that it stores it.
It's not a complex mouse in the slightest. It's basically a 2-button mouse with a scroll wheel, a middle button, and a button on the side. And I'm not going to talk about the IntelliPoint software because it kind of
it's neither Intelli nor I can't see the point.
Every time Microsoft do software for mice, it doesn't work out well. But the mouse is great. I've been using it on Mac OS and Windows, and it's so simple and so pocketable. Like, this thing is tiny. I haven't seen a mouse this small in ages. I love this thing. I really do like this a lot.
More than Tash?
No, not more than Tash. I don't like this more than my girlfriend. But, you know, okay. I do like this mouse a lot. It's cool.
I just wanted to clarify that with the L word coming in.
Yeah, of course. I really enjoy this mouse. It's called the Microsoft Arc, and it's called that because when you pull it out, you know, after it's been snapped out in position,
it looks like the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
It looks like an arc. It's a very smooth design, and if Microsoft keep coming up with designs like this, I really see them going.
They're
going to
become a mouse company.
Yeah, they're going to become a great mouse company. You've got another one.
I've got another one. This is also from Microsoft, and this one is the Microsoft Explorer Mini Mouse. Now, I don't consider it to be that mini a mouse. It's not as small as mine. It's not as small as the one Lee has, and it fits rather comfortably in my hand. Again, it's a wireless one. The wireless transceiver for storage fits neatly in the base. The battery...
Different style than mine. His actually sits at the bottom, where if you can't nudge it. It's a clip-in, whereas mine's a magnet and it closes up. But his is a very easy solution as well.
Yeah, it uses a blue light as its guiding light for
it's
there.
It's like a blue laser, I think. Well, it's similar to one.
It's similar, yeah, but it doesn't actually have any laser warnings on it, so no. I don't think it's a laser, but it is... It feels very nice in the hand. I don't like the scroll wheel because there's no detents on it, and so you get no feedback from the scroll wheel itself. But apart from that, the buttons have got a very positive, very solid feel. The weighting of the mouse, the actual weight of it, is very, very good.
And then you have the Blue Track technology.
That's right. It just works. It works on, I was using it yesterday on frosted glass, well, on
just,
the leaf,
just
testing
now,
it out.
Blue Track is Microsoft's new technology for mice. Has a blue light at the bottom, very bright blue light, and it's designed to work on virtually any surface. And you know, I tested it on an iPhone and it worked. I've tested it on the Microsoft Arc and it worked.
Yeah. Okay, so that's very quick reviews because we're going to run out of time.
We are going to run out of time. And
next week.
Go on. Next week, we're actually going to talk about Open Office. You know, most people don't know what Open Office is. It's a way of saving you money instead of having you pay money for, Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel. And we're also going to talk about Google Documents, which is another way of doing it. Microsoft and Apple are both running to emulate what Google have done with this program, which is basically using your office and calendar and all that online. You can access it from anywhere in the world, part of the cloud computing initiative, which we'll also talk about next week.
We should indeed talk about cloud confusion.
Cloud confusion with cloud computing.
Yes.
so we've got that sort of stuff coming up next week. As always, there will be new news. There'll be new lots of things, won't there?
I hope so, yeah. I'm Gary Stark. I'm going to say goodnight to our listener.
I'm Lee Stark. I'm a bit more hopeful. I'm going to say goodnight to our listeners. Are you sure you're not running early here?
No, we're running right on time.
Right on time? Ladies and gentlemen, whoever's listening, this is Los Hombres Calientes from New Orleans, the great city of New Orleans. And this is the Mardi Gras Second Line with one of our favorites, Trombone Shorty. We'll see you next week on the Gadget Grill.
We'll see you next week on the Gadget Grill to RDJ FM 88.1.
Enjoy the week.